In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Is your food safe to eat? That's a question Americans are asking after the revelation that FDA inspections of the nation's food supply have dropped sharply due to the ongoing government shutdown.
Food safety. The FDA curtailing inspections of food processing plants.
Critics say furloughing hundreds of FDA inspectors who monitor the processing of foods like fruit, vegetables, and raw seafood is making Americans potentially less safe. The agency oversees 80% of the country's food supply. The FDA commissioner said he's working to bring workers back to inspect facilities deemed high risk because they handle seafood and raw vegetables, which have a history of problems. But for now, it's unclear how. There are tens of thousands of food processing facilities in the U.S., about 20,000 of which are considered high-risk sites. The FDA inspects about 160 food processing facilities each week, a third of which are high-risk sites. The inspectors look for problems like unsanitary conditions, insect infestations, and salmonella and E. coli contamination, as they did, for example, in the recent investigations of romaine lettuce.
Nobody wants to get E. coli on Thanksgiving or ever, so that's my thought.
Food inspections are just one of the public health and safety efforts that have been cut or reduced during the partial government shutdown. Foodborne illnesses are a major problem in the U.S., sickening 48 million people each year and killing 3,000, according to estimates from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
We're going to figure this thing out, solve a couple mysteries, get down to the bottom of the funky shit.
What's this fucking Scooby-Doo?
No, ma'am.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
That was inadvertently very well set up. Yeah, you whoopsie-daisied your way into a hot one. All right, can't get to it all, because the thing is, throughout the day, I'm at work, I go on break, I scroll my news feed, I save shit to it. Mm-hmm. And then Phoenix Kalita deliberately finds news,
yes.
And then we clash at the end of the day with, like, well, what the fuck are we gonna cover then?
Yes.
Yeah. So, some will make it, some won't. Something or other might be Patreon only. Right. Folks already heard front loaded at the beginning. food inspections falling off. So I think we about to just start getting some dry processed shit. We gonna be some noodle eating motherfuckers. Yeah,
which also, if y'all go to winecellarmedia.com, I've been trying to keep up on everything that's been recalled. In the last, I'm not even kidding, like 2 months, it's been canned corn. It's been fresh leaf lettuce. It's been cauliflower, broccoli, ground beef, cake mix, avocados, like fucking ton. And that's what they're just catching. And now they aren't even catching that because why the fuck would we test it? That's silly.
Cake mix.
Yes, cake mix. Yes, there was, I want to say, people were going to get, what is that? Salmonella. From the cake mix.
Yeah, because salmonella be on shit. Like, I work in a packaging factory, and, like, we actually, like, when we do a wash down of a packaging room where we package food products,
yeah,
we actually have to, like, wash the table legs and shit down at the bottom. Food isn't coming near there, but there be salmonella on them table legs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to get that shit off.
It was a salmonella in the cake mix. It was, what is it like? I forgot what it's called. It looks like Lysol with some kind of bacteria. Yeah, that was on the avocados. It's just fucking
good.
It's great.
It's good.
It's great.
Top ramen.
Top ramen it is.
Dry shit. We eating dry shit
rice,
that we can
beans.
Boil. Yeah, basically, everything's getting boiled, nigga. We boiling steaks in this motherfucker. We boiling every damn thing.
Yes.
Cook the evil out, nigga. You know I want medium rare steak.
I want medium rare steak, too.
And we got Chuck steak on the cheap, nigga.
We did.
Well, actually, Chuck tends to be cheaper anyway. I don't know.
Yeah, but this was fucking redonkulous with the price, man.
It was kind of a lot.
Yeah.
It was kind of a lot.
Yeah.
And,
which, you know, it was funny because I was talking to someone on Twitter about this, and they live in Sweden, and they were saying it's actually cheaper to be a vegan in Sweden than it is to eat meat because meat is so expensive there.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not here.
Nuh-uh.
Not here, buddy.
Mm-mm.
You a pack of chicken to do you right.
For $2.
Yeah. Good prices. Okay, so what not what have you, this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Also... that's where I got it from. There was a website called The Week that had it, and I was like, let me see if there's something other than The Week. And another one, I just this morning, I did a morning wine cellar for Monday, January 14th, 2019.
Yes.
And a black trans woman was murdered. And I have another story here, and this is coming off of Fox 32.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a Fox subsidiary,
yeah.
And they don't misgender her. Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people talk a lot of shit about Fox, but once you get away from, like the pundit, like, the Tucker Carlson shit,
yeah.
You can find decent news on various Fox websites. You just can't fuck with the, you know, the primetime shows.
Yeah.
But the actual news is usually okay.
Yeah, or they have a podcast that, but the thing is, it's an RSS feed, and it's self-deleting, so, like, every 24 hours, it refreshes and deletes.
Oh.
And, but yeah, a teen charged with the murder of a trans woman, and this one's in Chicago. All right, so I think this is, like, I'm looking at the picture, and this looks like a different dark-skinned black trans woman got murdered, and murdered by a teenager. And so the kids aren't doing better.
Mm.
They're not. and CNN gives me a pop-up.
Pop-ups are awesome.
Passenger carries firearm through TSA screening at Atlanta onto Delta flight because people don't work the same when they're not getting paid or at all.
Hmm.
Rand Paul.
Oh.
Heading up to Canada for some surgery. All right. What? He wants that libertarian surgery. That freedom loving surgery. That profit motivated surgery. Yes, ma'am.
Hmm.
These are the facts.
Hmm.
And apparently there's something called Fortnite.
Oh, it's a video game.
Okay. And the creator is buying entire forests to prevent them from being chopped down. Okay. Why the fuck are forests something that you can buy and sell anyway?
Capitalism.
That's my fault. Like, that's the real story, is the fact that you can buy a forest.
On that Ted Turner shit. He's like, you know Ted Turner, like the TV guy? He's like a fucking, I don't know, was a TV exec and like owned a channel or some shit.
I thought owned several.
Several channels. He has like some absurd amount of land and he just puts buffalo on them as a conservation project. It's like his fucking hobby and he has, it's like 10,000 acres. It's like half of a fucking state somewhere. He just owns it.
Yeah, we gotta send him back. Gotta send him back and then build a wall around it.
Mm-hmm. Take away the guns first.
Yes, ma'am. You had headlines.
Oh, yes. This is just... Oh, Lisa Loco's calling me. Sorry, can't answer the phone. Just one headline, one and done. There's new AI software that's tracking down Netflix users who share passwords, FYI. There's a teen who did the Bird Box challenge and crashed into another car, because why the fuck not? A Catholic archbishop says domestic abuse is the victim's fault and women could prevent it by being nicer and more obedient.
On the the Netflix thing.
Yes.
What you can do, you can just make a new Facebook account that you're not actually going to use, and then give the password to that Facebook account to your friend, and then log into Netflix through that Facebook account instead of through password. Blam.
Nice.
All right.
We always find the workaround. Texas Republicans are going to vote on whether to remove a Muslim American from a GOP position because he's Muslim.
Fucking Muslims.
Damn Sharia law. The Border Patrol agent who is allegedly a serial killer who killed sex workers has pleaded not guilty. Although the prosecutor has alleged that he was killing women as a public service because nobody likes whores.
All right. So kind of like Ken Steele, who is a child of Welsing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And a little bitty.
Oh, the Sandy Hook families that are suing Alex Jones had a little court win.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not done with the case yet, but just, yeah, they're getting access to the internal documents of InfoWars.
Oh, shit. So this is the real declassified.
Yes.
That's some shit. We got Alex Jones facts and figures right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, that's fun.
Black helicopters.
And then people are doing things at Walmart. We'll try to get to that one just because it's fucking funny. It might be behind the paywall. I don't know yet. Don't know.
Is it Jade Helm?
It could be.
My brain is still on the Jones.
It could be. So we have that. Oh, U.S. soldiers have pleaded guilty to trying to smuggle cocaine into America. Build the wall. Keep the soldiers out.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a documentary called Invisible War, and keep them out.
Oof. Yeah, I think that's most of the good stuff I got.
All right.
Oh, and if we do have time, like for real time, I want to do the fake nude Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez thing, because that's hilarious to me.
All right, so we got work to do.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
I do my hair toss, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling?
Feeling good as hell.
Head toss, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling?
Feeling good as hell.
Woo, child, tired of the bullshit. Gone, dust your shoulders off. Keep it moving, yes, Lord. Trying to get some new shit in there. Swimwear, going to the pool sheet. Come now, come dry your eyes.
All right, and there it is. Evening Wine Cellar. Hello, YouTube and podcast audio. So, this Fox 32... where they did not misgender this individual. Mm-hmm. All right, so a 17-year-old boy is accused of fatally shooting a transgender woman last year in a secluded area on the South Side where he was ordered held without bail Sunday. Now, just like what I did in the Morning Wine Cellar earlier today at about 4 a.m., a word is missing from that sentence. Again, black trans woman.
Mm.
But I'm sure to a target Fox audience, Southside Chicago, of course it's a nigger transgender.
Yeah.
I mean, I respect her gender fine, but she is a nigger still.
Well, I mean, also this is a local station, so especially here.
Yep.
Yes.
Let's see here, So the individual, his name is Tremon T. Hill, and he was charged with a first-degree murder in the August 13th slaying of Dejanay Stanton, a 24-year-old individual, a black trans woman, that word was left out again, and he was in a sexual relationship with, I wonder if we covered this because it's from August last year. But now the,
this is the update.
Yeah, the murder charge is just popping off now. All right, in a sexual relationship with,
Dejanay?
And, so, I'm looking, this is, the Cook County, Assistant State Attorney, Britt Steinberg, said this at the bail hearing in the, Leighton Criminal Building. I really wish they would put quotations around that. Because I say all those words, and then I have to say, oh, and this person said it. And it's like, well, fucking, I mean, put semi-quote. Give me something. Let me know I'm quoting someone. Yeah, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Stanton, the victim, received a text message from Tremon T. Hill the morning of the murder, it says killing here, and asked her to meet him in the lot at the 4000 block of South Calmet Avenue in the Bronzeville, in Bronzeville?
Bronzeville is a neighborhood in Chicago.
Okay, yeah, I don't know these areas.
Yeah.
I'm more of a, you know, northern suburbs guy, a Midwest guy. You know how I get down. just after 11 a.m., officers responding to the shot spotter alert found shot spotter. What's that?
Oh, just when you hear gunshots, you just call in and tell them where it is.
No shit. Okay. Yeah, so people can just lie on that shit, though.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to drive through some white neighborhoods and call ShotSpotter. Like, I don't know. Somebody in a mullet, man. I saw someone in a mullet running, and I heard gunshots.
A mullet.
Come fix it. so responding to a ShotSpotter alert, found Miss Stanton laying on the ground outside of her car with a single gunshot wound to her head.
Damn.
She was rushed to the Stroger Hospital and pronounced dead within minutes of the shooting. The Chicago police and the Cook County Medical Examiner, they reported this at the time. See, give me a quote. The text messages between Tremont T. Hill and Miss Stanton revealed that their sexual relationship began early in the summer when they... when they arranged to meet at the Empire Hotel at the 76 and Cottage Grove.
Oh, damn. That's way south side. All right.
I have the glaucoma, so I got to make this text even bigger. Like, I am struggling. Shit. All right. So the pair started communicating with each other in July, sending each other more than 400 messages. And that stopped about 8 minutes before Stanton was fatally shot. Over multiple text messages, Tremont T. Hill urged Miss Stanton to delete photos of him from her phone, which she later did, Miss Steinberg said. But Tremont T. Hill also told Stanton that their sexual relationship had caused him to become suicidal. Well, that's some transphobia for your ass.
Wow.
This is fucking... officers executed a search warrant on Tremont T. Hill's home and found pants with small red stains and other clothing that matched with a surveillance video that showed that Hill was wearing the day of the murder. He has a public defender that said the cell phone records served as the only evidence and that there was no surveillance video of the murder. Well, that, all right, public defender.
Okay.
But then again, I don't want some, transphobic murderer. It's like, nigga, leave trans woman alone. Like motherfuckers that just want to have sex with a trans woman, but you want to be secret and weird and it's like, leave them alone.
But I don't understand, like, how... You pursued a relationship with somebody, had sex with them, and then it made you suicidal because they were trans, but, like, nobody made you be involved with them. It's a little weird.
Yeah, you chose that. Yeah, so, fuck you, Tremont. Judge Mary C. Marubio ordered that Tremont be held without bail after saying she took into consideration the extensive electronic evidence, including the shot spotter alert, the tracking of his movement from cell towers, and that he stopped texting Stanton at the time of the murder. Tracking of his movement from cell towers, tracking of his movement from cell towers, tracking of his movement from cell towers. Mm-hmm. You ain't Isby got no privacy.
No, you don't.
You can turn off all the you want to turn off. They know where you are.
You know, and I saw an article about that too, where they were talking about like how your cell phones track you, and basically all the carriers, AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile and whatnot, just sell that data to third parties. So apparently what bounty hunters do now is if like you skip, you know, if you skip out on your bail, they collect that data. They pay a fee for like $100 and they can basically just find you within like a 3-block radius of wherever you are at any given time.
Wait, so bounty hunters can do that and they just go up to them and, I mean, it's an exchange, right? It's the free market is strong, right? They give money, they get thing.
Yeah.
So ex-boyfriends that are potentially dangerous can just...
go to these third-party carriers and buy the data.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Welcome to it. Being a cis woman or a trans woman is a pre-existing condition. Let it see known. All right, we got some work to do. It is the wine cellar, fuckos. All right.
Good?
Yep, we're in there.
All right. So this is coming from the Mirror.
.co.uk?
.co.uk.
Okay.
Yes. Wait, is there another Mirror that I don't know about?
Oh, maybe.
A Black Mirror, maybe?
Whoa.
fucking focus groups. All right. So this is, I'm so American, right? So it said Toledo, and I was like, oh, like Ohio? No, it's Toledo, Spain. Spain, España. But we're still going to cover it because I just think it's relevant. So, an archbishop caused fury in Spain by saying domestic violence happens because, quote, women do not obey men. Yeah.
I think there'd be domestic violence with or without that.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, which also, like, the fuck would you know about it? You're not even married. Like, your job prohibits you from getting married. The fuck do you know about it? So the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Toledo, Braulio Rodriguez, told his congregation that wives could avoid being hit by just doing what they're told. He also said that women could escape physical abuse by not asking husbands for a divorce. Yeah, that's what we're going with. He told the churchgoers in his sermon, the majority of domestic... This nigga a fucking expert. He gonna tell us about the majority of domestic violence cases. All right. The majority of cases of domestic violence happen because the woman's partner does not accept them or rejects them for not accepting their demands. Or often the macho reaction comes about because she asked for a separation. That's like... If someone is willing to hit you because you asked for a divorce, they obviously see you as a thing that they own. So they're gonna beat your ass anyway. They're not gonna fucking escape domestic violence by staying with an abusive person.
Ugh. Or what if? Now, this is a little wacky.
He has an idea.
This is a little wacky here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe in Western European cultures with their hierarchies would have to do the man and the household and the woman and the children and, you know, upper... With, you know, your boss, your job, and then in the church, your preacher. Maybe in these hierarchies,
yes,
someone who is high up as a preacher saying it's the woman's fault she got hit might also be why women get hit. It could play a part.
He is not a preacher. He is an archbishop.
Man, I am being McMurrican colloquial. They are all preachers in my head.
No, there's like the priest, and then you keep moving up, and then there's like the cardinal and the archbishop. So, like, if this was America and this was like Chicago, this would be the guy who's in charge of all the Catholic churches in Chicago. Like that guy.
Oh, so the hierarchy is higher than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking this is just a nigga at the pulpit yelling.
No. He is, like, responsible for maintaining other parishes within a specific geographical area.
Oh, he just got a gang of women killed.
Yeah, he did. Like, this guy probably knows the Pope.
No shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Popa. He drives a Ford of Focus.
El Papa. So, yeah. He's relatively high up. So he said, I don't think our political leaders are worried about divorce figures when they fought so hard to implement the so-called quick divorce. This guy is really upset about divorce rates. He made the comments during a mass held in the Toledo Cathedral on December 27th, and the comments were then later published in the Our Father Parish Bulletin. Thousands of furious Spanish women have now taken to social media to slam the cleric. One wrote, the Archbishop of Toledo has linked domestic violence to couples not being together in a proper marriage. So says the celibate man who believes in ghosts.
Okay. That was a little rude.
Mm.
A little heavy-handed.
Another added, he should be locked up for inciting violence. This fool should keep his medieval views to himself. In 2015, 56 women were killed in Spain because of domestic violence. That seems like an absurdly low number, quite frankly.
But remember, Spain is not the same size as McMurka.
But 56?
That we know of.
There are millions of people there still.
That we know of. Yeah, like the rest of them, they were just like, she fucking walked into his hand again. Stop doing that.
Yeah. More than 1 million cases of domestic violence have been dealt with by Spanish courts since 2007, with judges handing down prison sentences to 148,000 men. More than 1 million cases and 148,000 convictions? That is some shitty odds.
Well, that's more than a tenth. That's a...
One-tenth of 1/10 of 1%.
That's a lot of men that are fucking victims of the matriarchy.
The matriarchy, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I also find the timing of this interesting, because Spain also just passed a law that the affirmative consent, that you have to say yes. If you don't say yes, it's still considered rape.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a fair deal.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah, fuck this preacher man. Ha ha, fuck you, preacher man.
Fuck you, preacher man. Well, I mean, you know. They have to say something else ridiculous when they're not abusing children.
Woo. Yeah. What? They do.
They do.
Indeedly do. WineCellarMedia.com. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this. This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
Boy, just be yourself. If people don't like you for being yourself, fuck them!
And let's go ahead and take a look on over here on this outlet called The Cut. This one, Phoenix Kaleeder had in the extended show notes thread.
Yes.
So thecut.com appears to be a New York-based outlet. and let's see, do I have an author? Kimberly Truong. And you can check out Kimberly Truong at Kimberlanded on the Twitter. And Kimberly put up this article on The Cut. Says, two women in North Carolina have been arrested and charged with second-degree kidnapping and sexual battery of a transgender woman in a women's bathroom. And investigators said that Amber Harrell, a 38-year-old individual, Jessica Fowler, a 31-year-old individual, followed an unnamed 29-year-old individual woman into the bathroom at a place called Milk Bar last month. And they locked the door. Like,
how old are these people?
38 and 31.
Nigga, what are you doing with your life?
Being shitty millennials.
Ah, Jesus.
And, fucking, like, and I think about shit like that, right? So, you're a transgender person, you go into a small enclosed space.
Right.
Two people follow you in and lock the door.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got one, like, I'm a cis person, like, I think maybe this is the kind of shit trans people think about. Like, probably, I mean, what if the sound of a door locking is, like, triggering? Like, your fucking heart starts beating fast and shit. Because it's like, yo, it could be going down.
Right.
Anytime you're in a small space and you hear a door lock, it could be going down. Mm-hmm. Like, this could be beat to death moment.
Right. Yeah. Because like, then you're like, what's going to happen when the door opens?
Well, are you going to be alive to see it open? Like, is this your last closed door?
Right.
Yeah. Move forward with this article coming off of thecut.com. they proceeded to, they have allegedly here, They proceeded to verbally and sexually assault her, according to the police report. The woman called 911 the day after the incident, telling the dispatcher that Harrell and Fowler exposed themselves to her and began touching her. Now, according to the partisan biased outlet, The Daily Beast, one of the women pulled her skirt up, asking, quote, "Do you want to see my boobies?" end quote, and pressed them up against the woman, against the wall, with her bare chest.
Fucking weirdos.
Like, and this is what I get. Like, I be seeing non-binary niggas and trans niggas, and like, I get it. Like, when they make posts, Ja'Cory Holder does this a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, Ja'Cory Holder will say, "The cis did this thing." And it's like, we should be called that because they are among us.
Yeah.
They are the cis, just as I am the cis.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing is people, because a lot of, well, again, white womanhood is seen as very cis and very white just in general. So it's like, white women are gentle and, you know, whatever. So people don't really expect cis women to be doing this type of shit. But no, man, that transphobia is real.
Yeah. And fucking dangerous. This moves forward, coming off of the cut.com put up by member Kimberly Truong at Kimberlanded on the Twitter. Put this story up. Very, very good work. all right. So the woman also told 911 that the assault continued at the bar.
What the fuck?
Quote, "One of the girls was still touching all over me. She would not let go. I asked her numerous times. The bartender could see I was visibly uncomfortable." And this information was obtained by a news outlet, WRAL, and there is no hyperlink to that. Witnesses told the same news outlet that it was clear that Harrell and Fowler, the 38-year-old and the 31-year-old, that they were targeting the woman because she is transgender. In 2016, North Carolina, with the help of 12 Democrats that all endorsed Hillary Clinton, passed a law requiring people to use public restrooms associated with the gender they were assigned at birth, but was rescinded in 2017 after public backlash. Harrell was arrested over the weekend and was out of jail Tuesday on a $50,000 bond. And Fowler, who turned herself in Tuesday, was released on a $30,000 bond. According to the Associated Press, it's unclear whether or not the two women had lawyers, and no court date has been set for their arraignment. Though the news outlet WRAL reports that if they are convicted, they'll have to register as sex offenders. And actually, down there at the bottom in that last paragraph, there is a link to the news outlet WRAL, and we'll go ahead and link this whole thing in the show post.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm not necessarily pressed about the idea of them being listed as sex offenders. Like, if you're going around fucking groping people in bathrooms, you are a disgusting individual, and I should get to know that about you.
Wait, what was your first part of that?
I said I'm not pressed about it.
Oh, not... I don't use that vernacular so
I'm
much.
Not
that, like,
bothered by it. Like, I'm not bothered by it.
Yeah, like, it went past my head, and I was like, pressed? What is she saying, like, impressed?
No, no.
I was like,
no,
I mean,
no.
I'm not impressed either. I think it's what you ought to do. Yeah. You know? All right, yeah, yeah, yeah. It missed me, because I don't hear that vernacular very often.
Okay,
so yeah, I was like, not, what, yeah.
No, I support them being on that registry, because that's, you're a dangerous person. You're going around groping people in bathrooms. I should get to know that about you, just in case I happen to be in a bathroom and you happen to be in a bathroom with me. Like, I should fucking know that you try to rape people in bathrooms, basically.
Yeah, I don't remember what state it happened in, but I remember when the bathroom bill business was going around and a cis man went into a woman's bathroom and attacked a cis woman because he thought she was trans.
That happened like 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a few of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's too easy to just say it was in Texas, but it's a good guess. All right, let's dance it on forward. WineCellarMedia.com.
It's a good guess.
People ain't gonna
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar. This show is fucked up. Give me some room and I might just chill. But I'm the type that like to light another joint like Cypress Hill. I still do be spit loogies when I puff on it. Okay, and we just did a Patreon-only joint, and that'll be going on. All right. Hop skippity fresh. Let's get down with the funky stuff, huh? What kind of stuff you got?
Sex worker updates, news.
Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
I came in a little hot.
Some sex worker updates. I think I'm getting featured in another article on The Guardian about Kamala Harris and Sesta Fosta and Backpage. Fun fact.
There you go. I know. A fun thing to do. Now, you have to do it in quotation marks.
Yes.
Is Yahoo search Phoenix Kalita or whatever search engine you like. And because we did that one day. We found a gang of shit, really. Yes. Like, we actually found a gang of shit. But also, we found some nigga that is angry at us and is writing for a little website, and it's really cute, and he was so mad at the wine cellar still.
Not just some guy. The guy who's been accused of rape. That guy.
So, a rapist.
That guy. But yeah, I've had quotes in The Guardian before, right when Sesta Fosta passed, and the same reporter reached back out to me, and because basically he's writing about Kamala Harris potentially running for president, and you know how different communities are viewing her legacy and so on and so forth. So, yeah.
Yeah, let's what's going on? Sex workers, right?
So sex workers, this is just going to be one in a long series of updates. We covered the story about the Border Patrol agent who was killing sex workers. Right?
We did.
Yeah.
I think we did twice.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, this is like episode 787, I think, or some shit like that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, this is the update now. He has pleaded not guilty to killing four women, which I think, I want to say the first time we covered it, there were three victims. Now there's four.
Is this the same one? Is this the one that was raping and killing trans women? Is that a different story?
I think
story?
One of the sex workers was trans.
Okay.
So, yeah. This is the one where he was killing them and, like, he was had another victim, but she managed to get away and report it to police, like, escaped from his hotel room or a car or something. Yeah, this is that case. So, Juan David Ortiz, a U.S. Border Patrol agent, hashtag good cops.
Hey.
He has pleaded not guilty on Thursday to a capital murder charge in the deaths of four women, according to the Associated Press. They put killing spree in quotes. What the fuck is that?
Because I'm going to keep you...
Oh, that was the wrong one.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
All right.
Quote-unquote killing spree, which is weird because it's a fake killing spree and yet there's dead bodies. I don't know how that happened. His killing spree might have continued, prosecutors say, had they not caught a, quote, lucky break. Who's putting random quotations around shit in here? Who wrote this shit?
Lucky.
Matthew Schwartz. I am just pleased, Matthew. So, a lucky break when a fifth kidnapped woman escaped and contacted authorities. Prosecutors say that Ortiz thought it was his... Okay. I just want to say, I started this off talking about Kamala, right? And when I think about Sesta Fosta, the sex worker kept saying, you're going to put us in danger because not only do sex workers not have to work outdoors, there's not like Backpage or online places to advertise and screen, but in addition to that, it's adding to stigma, and stigma is what gets sex workers killed because people know they're a vulnerable population who can be hurt, right? Like we say that all the time on this show. Lo and behold, prosecutors say that Ortiz thought it was his duty to clean up the streets of Laredo, a border town in southwest Texas. So he began picking up alleged sex workers, driving them to the remote areas, and then shooting them in the head, according to prosecutors. Webb County District Attorney Isidro Alains said at a news conference last month, when announcing charges, quote, he deemed them to be the scum of the earth, and he wanted to move forward and clean the streets from these type of people. Uh-huh. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So, you know, but, you know, stigma doesn't kill, right? No big deal.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
love dead hooker jokes. They're totally not related to anything happening in real life ever at any point. Ortiz thought law enforcement wasn't doing enough to stop prostitution in Laredo, so he believed he was doing a service by killing the women, according to Ortiz. Wait, what the fuck?
So essentially...
So he confessed.
He's a certain brand of feminist I've heard of.
He is a certain brand of feminist that we've heard of.
Swerf.
So he confessed, but he pleaded not guilty. All right, let's go with that. Because the sentence, it says Ortiz thought law enforcement wasn't doing enough, so he was doing a service by killing the women, Ortiz said. Or is that a typo? It's not supposed to be Ortiz. It's supposed to be the prosecutor said.
Oh, maybe. What's this outlet?
NPR.
NPR?
Yeah.
NPR. All right. Apparently they're furloughed too. All right.
So, yeah, I don't know who said he was doing a service. I don't know if that's a direct, like, confession from him or if that's the prosecutor still talking. I don't know.
But you see what... There's the language factor. Maybe he did say that and he's pleading not guilty or innocent to murder because he doesn't see it as murder.
That's entirely possible. I mean, but also a lot of people start confessing to something and then they get a lawyer and the lawyer's like, shut up. And then they end up pleading not guilty. I don't know. But so yeah, that I could really go either way with that there. So prosecutors are seeking the death penalty because Ortiz's, quote, vigilante mentality presents a future danger to society. Oh, okay, and then NPR has a hyperlink that says he did confess. So yeah, he actually did say he was doing a public service by killing sex workers.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So he's definitely, he's riding there with Megan...
Murphy.
Megan Murphy, Julie Bindle, Anita Sarkeesian.
Why does somebody fucking link me to Gail Dines to tell me something about sex work?
Oh, Jesus balls, Gail Dines, I forgot about. And Gail Dines, I remember, like, I was in a hurry, and so, and I wanted, like, you know, quick links to things, bookmarks.
Mm-hmm.
And my bookmark to just get to YouTube quickly... was a Gail Dines video, and then I proceeded to get, because I didn't know who Gail Dines was, and I was willing to check out anybody. I was like, who's this Gail Dines? Mm-hmm. And I heard some of the most bullshitty ass bullshit I had ever heard in my whole entire shit.
I think Julie Bindle is the one who wins, though. I'll have to double check it, but I think that's the one who said that after we eradicate sex workers should be murdered in the streets for like being complicit with patriarchy or something. Helping patriarchy.
Wouldn't you be helping patriarchy by killing women? But, you know, whatever.
It doesn't matter.
I think Julie Bindle is also the most fucking ridiculous because I saw what the fuck she started doing. She started finding, like, she would just have throwaway sentences in her shit. She wrote, like, some people call them sex workers just because she wanted it to hit the search terms.
Oh.
So if people were looking for sex workers, they would come across her bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so Julie Bindle's that's a nickel slick nigga right there. I don't like that motherfucker, man. Cause somebody, like, that's devious shit.
Right.
Like, that's a cold fucking fucker.
Yeah.
In the tags, I put Francis Cresswellsing and shit like that a lot. Cause I want black people to come to the black left before they go to the black right.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you're trying to find the quote?
Yeah, I was trying to find it. I don't see it off the top of my head. I'll look more for it later. I'm pretty sure that was Julie Bindle, though.
Yeah, that's one you want to keep archived. Like, we have a printer. We can...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to put it next to my, why I chose prostitution from that, what the fuck is her name? That researcher who studies sex workers. And her shit is always, like, so fucking shady. And she's been reported because her research methods are flawed. And then people quote her stuff, like, completely out of context. Hmm. Like, she did a...
She's the one that said they get in at, like, 7 years old or some shit.
Yeah, like, the average age of entry into prostitution is between 9 and 13. Except the study that she did was on minors in the sex work industry. Really? So there were a lot of 13-year-olds in your study that excluded everyone over the age of 17. Huh? Really? Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. It's not even a study.
Melissa Farley, by the way, is her name. But yeah, okay. But she wrote this, like, fucking satire piece. Like, the reasons why I chose prostitution. It's fucking horrible. It's got shit like, because I decided being gang raped by the football team was a transcendental experience and would be my life calling.
Wasn't that from, like, 2013 or fucking older?
It's older. It's like 2007 or some shit.
Fuck.
Yeah, but still, but that's the thing. It's still on the internet. So do you actually feel bad about it? Like, it's still on the website.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fuck it. Fuck all these niggas. So despite confessing and saying he was doing a public service by killing these women, Ortiz had a not guilty plea on the... What the fuck? For some reason, I don't know why they added this in, Ortiz's not guilty plea came on the same day President Trump visited the border town of McAllen, Texas, a few hours south of Laredo. Trump, who visited a border patrol station and held a roundtable discussion with local officials, was there to make a case for his wall, NPR reported.
Oh, wait, but this guy is an agent, right?
Yeah.
So they're linking in the trunk. So it's not that much of a throwaway sentence. It's just, you know.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
But wait, there's more.
Fuck.
While on the border, Trump criticized the media for not sufficiently covering crime and violence committed by undocumented immigrants. And during the roundtable meeting, Trump met with family members of officers killed by undocumented immigrants. Ortiz, who was a Border Patrol supervisor by day and was an off-duty and driving his own truck when the attacks took place, according to the NPR, as a law enforcement was looking for a killer, he would be reporting to work every day like normal. Obviously, this isn't from the article, just obviously, none of this was brought up to Trump. They're just bringing up Trump to bring up Trump, really.
Okay.
Like they didn't actually say to him, but what about this case?
Oh, hitting the search terms.
Yes. The women who were killed were Melissa Ramirez, Giselda Alicio Cantu. Oh, huh. Cantu is oftentimes an indigenous name. Interesting.
Huh.
Claudine Luera and, they dead name somebody. Janelle Ortiz.
The trans woman.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They have, like, the first name and then Janelle in quotes Ortiz.
Oh, wait, in quotes or parentheses?
Quotes.
In
quotes.
Oh, so what the fuck Swerf wrote this shit?
Yeah.
You dissed this article writer earlier in it, too. What's this fucker's
Matthew
name?
Matthew Schwartz.
Does he have his fucking Twitter on there?
Of course he does.
Oh, man, we should go tweet at that nigga. Hey, what's his app?
I'm looking.
All right, folks.
This is just a link to all his other fucking articles.
Ah, fuck that shit. All right.
Oh, that's great. The last thing he wrote before this was last known World War II Nazi living in U.S. dead. Fuck, nigga.
So he's just pumping out shit.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, as a journalist, he's just painting bowls of fruit.
Oh, he has a law degree from Georgetown.
Wait, Georgetown?
Yeah.
Is that big bad boy Brett?
I don't fucking know. Probably.
No, Brett. No, he went to Georgetown Prep, not the Georgetown.
Oh, not the actual university.
Yeah.
Come on. It's being booty. It won't let me look up his at.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Just let me look at. So Uh-oh. The tablet won't let me log in to Twitter.
Why not?
Because it's trying to like text me verification codes or something. I don't know. It's just being weird. Not cooperating. So I can't
try to have
his
it
at.
Texted to my telephone number.
I could. Cause,
yeah, because you have more safety features up on your shit.
I do.
Yeah.
Just for a second, I thought that was the big fat black ghost.
All right.
That's not funny.
That's a good story. That's a good story. All right, Miss Ma'am. So, yeah, we're going to find this Matthew Schwartz. All right. WineCellarMedia.fothermuckin.com.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R. For keeping it real.
Like that little bitch, Eminem!
Politics is weird.
I don't know, man. That doesn't seem woke. And I'm woke as hell.
I mean, Jesus was a white man, too.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
All right. Let's take a look at what's going on over here. Real brief, real quick, real fast. Two news outlets, WSB TV Atlanta 2, but then that links you to Times Record News, which I want to take a look at this Times Record News outlet. All right. Wichita Falls. Where is that?
Tejas.
What?
Texas.
Tejas?
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk like that in the land of the heartland, America, freedom, life, love, and liberty, bald eagle, baseball game, hot dog, and no government inspection on your food. Just take a risk, snowflake. We don't talk like
just
that
take
here.
Take a risk. Mm-hmm.
All right. Hell. Whoever don't die was the strongest and the species got better. Times Record News, Wichita Falls. The police fellers out there, they received a phone call on a Friday morning involving a woman in a Walmart parking lot. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were employees out there at that there Walmart, and they were like, we need officers down here. We're making a request. And they wanted to ban this here woman from that there Walmart. All right.
Rude.
Because she thinks that Pringles cans are not for eating Pringles out of.
I can't really judge that. I have used Pringles can to make soap. I've used them as soap molds.
It's a Pringles can. Now that I think about it, the very concept of using a Pringles can for something other than Pringles automatically makes my brain go to young white man making a bomb. Isn't it pretty easy to go there? And it's kind of logical.
I prefer to keep it simple and think about soap. It's a little more wholesome, William. Just a little bit more wholesome.
But it's not as realistic.
William doesn't like it when people enjoy things.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
I'm always like, oh man, everybody's having fun. I like that. So let's see here. So she's disrespecting Pringles cans. And for several hours, apparently.
Hours.
All right. Now, instead of eating Pringles from the can, she is drinking wine from the can.
That's innovative. It's creative. I like it. I dig it.
And if it's several hours while riding an electric cart, is that actually an incident or is that just ongoing behavior?
That's just the afternoon.
And how are you drinking wine? Did she take a bathroom break? Did she just piss herself? I don't know. I can't just drink for several hours anything. I can't just drink juice for several hours.
I wonder if she started off with Pringles in the can and then was just there so long she just ate all the Pringles and then just poured wine in it. Like, oh, it's already in my hand.
Why not pour the wine into your mouth? Are you like, nah, I want my wine to have crumbs and onion.
Maybe she was trying to be sly about it. She thought she had it camouflaged and shit.
But we see you putting a Pringles can to your mouth, and if it's going on for several hours, we see drips coming down your chin. You're not hitting the target every time. The incident began shortly after 9 a.m. Friday, because don't waste a day.
Damn. 5 o'clock somewhere.
It doesn't have to be that anymore. Don't follow that fucking rule. See, you're trying to put respectability politics on white women's drinking lifestyle choices. Now, the overseers responded to the call to check on a suspicious person. There's nothing suspicious about that. It's not. Don't use that word for that. Okay, she's not a man. To me, men are inherently suspicious. Even white women. Like, white women are so much less dangerous than white men, even though they're still dangerous. White men are some whole other type shit. Did she have on a trench coat?
Probably not.
No. She's not suspicious. Don't play me with that.
Well, suspicious implies you don't know what's going on. If you've been watching her do it for several hours, you know exactly what the fuck she's doing.
Yeah. How you want somebody banned, but you don't know why? Fucking my fellow proletariat Walmart employees, come on. All right, so they're checking on a suspicious person in the parking lot of the Walmart on the 2700 Charles East FWI is freeway.
At what?
FWI, Charles East FWI. Is that freeway?
I don't know.
Fwy. So they're checking on the Fwy. And Officer Jeff Hughes, Phoenix farted, a WFPD spokesperson, they went with the non-binary, Jeff Hughes said that the police were told by the dispatchers that they were looking for a woman wearing a blue jacket and black pants. Very suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, white women in blue jackets. Watch out. The woman was reportedly riding on an electronic shopping cart, more commonly used for people with physical limitations. It is very, very, very light-handed journalism here.
Hmm.
The overseers were also told that she was drinking wine from a Pringles can.
Okay.
Now, Officer Jeff Hughes, the spokesperson, they went with the non-binary, said the reporting party said the suspect had been riding around in the store's parking lot since 6:30 a.m.
Jesus Christ.
While drinking the alcoholic beverage. When the overseers arrived, they found the woman in a nearby restaurant, at which point she was notified that she had been barred from the Walmart location. That was a pretty easygoing story. That was pretty all right. Like, she got to have her fun. She can't do it there anymore, but somewhere else.
Next week, I expect another story.
Yeah, I like this nigga, man.
It's gonna be like the Mad Pooper. It's just gonna be a bunch of random people popping up at Walmart parking lots drinking out of Pringles cans.
And notice how we don't get a name because she wasn't arrested.
Yeah.
Which, wait, so in Wichita Falls, you can just drink in public? It's Texas.
It is Texas.
Or as I call it, Tejas, myself. Yeah. It's a whole other language I speak that people have never heard of. All right. WineCellarMedia.com, PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Hold the wine cellar down. Keep the wine cellar up. It's an optional tax you can pay so everyone else can drive on that road. Now you know your slick blow. It's driving me out of my mind.
That's why it's hard for me to find. It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar. Negroes doing Negro stuff.
How do you feel?
I feel amazing. Is this how men feel?
All the time.
Even the ugly ones.
And it's wine cellaring.
Wait, wine cellaring is like we're verbing? Wine cellar is a verb now?
Yes.
How do you wine cellar?
You ask the right questions and you get the right answers. That's how.
You're very beautiful.
I know.
Why do you smell so good?
Because I don't use deodorant and I only take bubble baths.
That's how.
So bubble baths are wine cellaring?
Yeah, I do it, but with fucking bath bombs. They need to stop using the word bomb. There's nothing bomb about them. That was the most boring shit.
Don't they just foam up?
They don't even do that. They just spread out. They just kind of fizzle away.
Oh.
Like, I wanted a bubbly good time, and it was a dat gum of nothing.
Maybe you should get a better brand of bath bomb.
No, those were a dollar. That's an expensive bath bomb.
I'll make you a bath bomb, dear.
It was 100 cents. 100 cents.
I'll make you a bath bomb. Okay.
All right, Chief.
Yes. So, Sandy Hook victims' families win legal victory against InfoWars and Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
So, by the way, I follow his ex-wife on Twitter.
Yeah.
They're going back to court for custody stuff again. And the judge keeps giving him, like, more and more parental rights, which really makes me worry about this judge and for the kids, man.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so six families of victims killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School won a legal victory on Friday in their fight against controversial radio host and internet personality Alex Jones. I like that they're calling him a radio host and an internet personality, not like a reporter, or like, you know, like something serious. He's just a personality.
Well, it's what his lawyer said he was. Hey.
A judge in Connecticut has granted the family's discovery request, allowing them access to, among other things, InfoWars' internal marketing and financial documents. The judge has scheduled a hearing next week to decide whether to allow the plaintiff's attorney to depose Jones. The plaintiffs include the parents of five children who went to the school, as well as family members of first grade teacher Victoria Lee Soto and Principal Don Hochsprung. Oh, I said that wrong. According to a statement from the plaintiff's attorneys. According to the statement, the plaintiffs allege after a years-long campaign of abusive and outrageous false statements, in which Jones and the other defendants have developed, amplified, and perpetuated claims that the Sandy Hook massacre was staged and that the 26 families who lost loved ones are paid actors who faked their relatives' deaths.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Fucking Dan Bedondi should actually be a part of that. Yeah, he was doing that shit, too.
He was, but I think they're going after Jones because it's his followers that is the ones that are, like, doxing them and shit.
Hmm.
You know? Because, didn't we cover one of the families? They had to move like 5 times because they keep getting doxxed and people were sending them death threats and shit.
Well, there was one guy that I think he was actually like going to their houses. And if I remember right, he was a Dan Bedondi follower.
Oh, okay.
But Bedondi was with InfoWars at that time because Jones just liked him and he thought he could get some money off of him because Jones is a business person.
Yeah. Because I remember we covered one about a woman who was sending them death threats, doxxed them and sent them death threats and got sentenced to jail for it, or prison. I don't remember how long her sentence was. And then part of her, like, conditions for release was she's not allowed to listen to InfoWars anymore.
Oh, you told me about that. I think we
covered that. Yeah. Yeah, we covered that one, yeah.
And you know what? That shit, because this was back when, remember, man, like, before 2015, it was easy to listen to a lot more podcasts. Like, I actually listened to Bob and Ches Pazienza get lost, boy, go visit your big cousin. And fucking, I used to listen to him, and like, they really got into that shit with that Dan Bedondi shit. They actually had him on their show to debate them.
Really?
And yeah. And but like, they followed him real tough because he did have some influence because he was with InfoWars at the time. And it got to where like, those guys, they're called like Sandy Hook Truthers.
Yeah.
But it reached a point where there were Sandy Hook Truthers who said that the first set of Sandy Hook truthers were deliberately looking and sounding ridiculous so that the real truth could be hidden. There were truther truthers.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And these are the same people in that QAnon shit, aren't they?
I would not be surprised, Ed.
All right. So the lawsuit goes on to say that Jones... Oh, this is a direct quote. Jones' actions subjected the families and survivors of the Sandy Hook shooting to physical confrontations and harassment, death threats, and personal attacks on social media. From the beginning, we have alleged Alex Jones and his financial network trafficked lies and hate in order to profit from the grief of Sandy Hook families. That is what we intend to prove, and today's ruling advances the effort, said Chris Mattai, one of the attorneys representing the families. We look forward to gaining access to InfoWars' internal marketing and financial documents to show Jones has built an empire as nothing more than a conspiracy profiteer, as is alleged in our complaint.
Damn, that is well worded. That is responsible-ass fucking wording.
Yes.
Jesus. I don't even have a little commentary, but just fucking... See? William hates everything, huh? Just praise something?
No.
This nigga... ma'am. Just go hit with the no.
Yeah, no, I like that sentence. He has built an empire as nothing more than a conspiracy profiteer.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
I'm going to start saying conspiracy profiteer, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Tariq Nasheed is.
He is.
A conspiracy profiteer.
He is.
Like, he loves calling Feminista Jones Fraudanista Jones. And like, that was real. The first time that I actually ever heard Tariq Nasheed. And fucking people, please stop reporting shit and getting it taken down, because now I can't prove it. Because that whole Tariq Nasheed channel got wiped off YouTube. So I can't prove any of the shit that I'm claiming right now, because you fuckers report shit and get it removed.
Yeah, fucking...
Stop deleting evidence.
Yeah, keep the evidence. Keep the evidence.
Yeah.
Even if you get it reported and taken down, get the evidence first.
Quit moving with the mentality of a book burner. All right, and but like... The first time I ever heard Tariq Nasheed, he was saying that Feminista Jones works for the CIA and is infiltrating black groups.
Okay.
That's the first time I heard him, and I was immediately like, holy shit, he's the black Alex Jones.
Yeah, he kind of is.
Yeah.
Jones has since sought to dismiss the lawsuit. His defense attorney, Jay Wolman, wrote a motion to dismiss the lawsuit. Quote, plaintiffs suffered a horrible tragedy. Now, I would like to know.
Uh-oh.
If Sandy Hook had never had happened, what is the tragedy that these families have suffered?
I like that you're channeling Lindsey Graham and Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III at the same time.
Because somebody did a fucking Photoshop with their faces together and it's been in my head.
Oh my God. Who and why and where is that wonderful image?
Somewhere on Twitter.
Holy shit.
It's somewhere on Twitter. It's fucking... Ah.
Yo, like when they start yelling and getting real excited, like they, like, you know, spit doesn't come out their mouth, just like mint julep drops
mint
come
julep
flying drops. Out of their mouths.
Mint julep drops and caramels. Okay, so parents, plaintiffs suffered a horrible tragedy. I would just like to know what the fuck the tragedy is, since y'all are claiming that this shit never even fucking happened. So what the fuck was the tragedy then? I have questions. So yeah, the plaintiff suffered a horrible tragedy. Alex Jones and InfoWars are not responsible for this tragedy. The tragedy that never happened? That one?
Actually, like, if you think about it in, like, legalese bullshit terms, remember what we came up on when the Alex Jones lawyer said he's just an entertainer.
Yes.
So when he says that didn't happen, that's just his art.
Right.
So now that we're not in art mode, we can say it was a terrible tragedy. That's what back in 2000 and 2001, that's why you noticed, like, if you look at Eminem interviews, like, every once in a while they'd ask him a question and then he would look to his left and his lawyer would be like, don't say that. Don't answer that question. And he'd be like, my lawyer said I can't answer that because his mother, Debbie, was suing him and for defamation, but she could only sue him for defamation if he said it in an interview and not in a rap. That's why he could do that song, Cleaning Out My Closet. Mm-hmm. As long as it's in the art, you can do it. Right. I don't know if that's national or state. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
So the plaintiff suffered a tragedy for something that they alleged didn't happen, but whatever. So Alex Jones and InfoWars are not responsible for the tragedy. To punish them for First Amendment protected speech on this matter of public concern will not bring back the lives lost. The lives lost.
See?
So somebody died?
See, they can say it now because they're not performing.
Are his fucking listen? Like, I just want to know if his listeners know this is happening and if they do, what their take is. So is he lying when he says it then or is he lying in court now?
That he's just trying to work around the deep state.
Okay.
Like, they have Alex Jones, because sometimes he has callers sometimes.
Yeah.
And I never forget one caller that, this was back in my earlier days of analyzing and studying Jones. I'll repeat, I've said this a few times, but you never know who's hearing this for the first time. I listened from mid 2015, right? Around like late June, early August. Late July, early August, I started. Mm-hmm. And I listened to every single episode of InfoWars that was new at that time. Because he does episodes 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. Sunday through Friday, he does episodes. And I listened to every single one all the way through. I didn't skip. I didn't fast forward. I even listened to the commercial breaks because even those are propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how much studying. And I did that all the way up to St. Patrick's Day 2017. Then I got promoted and worked too much. And so fucking, this is like my first couple of weeks in listening to it, and somebody called in, and she could barely talk past her tears because she loved Alex Jones so much. And her main thing that she really liked about him was that he always gives the glory to God. Like, Alex Jones followers are dedicated.
They are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, they've made these people move like six fucking times. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. And but shit, one of them niggas showed up at the fucking, for that Pizzagate shit. Fucking showed up with the AR-15 trying to shoot niggas.
And I still want to know, man, there was that one story where fucking, somebody just rolled up on Melissa Harris Perry and then just stood really close to her and was like saying creepy shit and then just hopped off in a pickup truck and left. And you gotta wonder if you go back, and you know, the right wing in general did this, but Alex Jones harped on it real hard, where Melissa Harris Perry was doing her program, and she said that in her office, she keeps like a picture of something from slavery to remind her what real hard work is, and right wingers ran with that, like, oh, she's saying nobody does real hard work. She's saying you're not a real hard worker. She's racist. And they ran with that hard, especially Jones. So for some white man in a pickup truck to know where she is for an event and go roll up on her and deliberately, like, essentially, I think I'm going with, for big air, terrorism.
Yeah.
To practice terrorism against her like that. Like, that shit is, that's some ill shit. And Melissa Harris Perry is still a partisan hack. All right.
Yes. So his lawyer says that this won't bring back the lives lost. Woolman did not immediately respond to ABC News' request for comment. The judge's ruling on discovery gives the plaintiffs access to any communications Jones had about the Newtown massacre and to documents that could point to the inner workings of InfoWars. I just want to know what those documents say.
And I like the fact that
want to know.
InfoWars is being declassified.
InfoWars is being declassified.
Like, goddamn. Like, now, I want to start something called, I don't know, Information Fights.
And then just Information Fights. And just post all the declassified InfoWars shit.
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not war, it's just a fight, you know? A little scuffle, a little fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs.
Yeah, that's all.
It's informational fisticuffs, mate.
Yeah, just trading knuckle hammers, that's all. Knuckle hammers. Everyone's having a good time.
Knuckle hammers?
Yes, West Coast vernacular, I think. I think it might be a little regional. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Oh, that's the whole story?
That's the whole story.
That's the whole story. That's the whole wine cellar for Monday. Except, remember, folks, we did it last week. I think we did it the week before, trying to be consistent with it. That the whole episode altogether will be available, but the individual clips will be there. And we have one that we cut out of this episode mm-hmm. that's going to be by itself. And it's going to be available for Patreon only early. And then on the weekend, that one will go public for everybody. Yes. So if you're one of the 55, you got it.
Yes.
Already. If you want to be 56, 57, I mean, really, keep in mind, we have folks that sign up to the Patreon, you know, $20 here, $5 here, $10 there, mm-hmm. $1. There are people that sign up for $1 and you can access the content. $1 a month.
Mm-hmm.
There's one person that signs up for significantly more, and they pretty much do a lot of the carrying of the wine cellar.
They do. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, man, you can hit us up for what you want to hit us up for, and you get that shit early, too. All right? And that is that shit. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Is that there a funky-ass beat, Miss Ma'am?
Yes.
Is that a funky-ass beat? I'm not sure. Doo-doo. Yeah. It sounds like some shit that'll make me want to grab the mic and spit. Let these niggas know I talk like the young kids. I get lit. Yes, William, these days I'm on fleek. I think that's how they talk in the new school streets. I gotta get some skinny jeans, but they gotta be ripped first, cause that makes sense how you can spend your money. I guess it works. I'm not really sure. Does it make sense in dollars? I don't know. That shit would make me holler. I'd get angry. If my jeans had a hole, I'd pay too much for them. And plus, it's cold. Goddamn. Okay. All right.
Wait, I'm sorry. What? William hates things? Is that?
You are wrong and false. All right, YouTube, go fuck yourself. All right. Yeah, I should probably come up with a better. Please be as safe as possible wherever you are.
Yes.
Mr. Grinch, you're a bad banana. Gonna spoil everybody with your bad. all green and his teeth all yellow. What you so mad for? Halloween, come around and we ain't knocking at your door. Ha ha ha.